Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Dove. You use all the right skincare products for your face, but your body has been missing out. With new Dove Serum Body Wash, you can give your body the vitamin C glow it's been wanting, the hydration boost it's been craving, and the active skincare ingredients it deserves. It's time for your body care era. New Dove Serum Body Wash. Get Dove or get FOMO.
This episode is brought to you by Vital Farms. Isn't it bullshit to have to question where your food comes from? At Vital Farms, you can trace your pasture-raised eggs all the way back to the source, the pasture. On the side of each pasture-raised carton of eggs, you'll find the name of the farm where your eggs were laid. And when you look the farm up on their website, you'll get a peek at all the sunshine, fresh air, and open space the hens enjoy. Learn more and find out where to buy them at vitalfarms.com. Vital Farms, keeping it bullshit free.
There's a lot that could impress you about the all-new Honda Prologue EV. True, it's got class-leading passenger space and clean, thoughtful design and intuitive technology. But what really sets the Prologue apart from the competition is that it's more than an EV. It's a Honda. Honda, the power of dreams. Visit Honda.com/Prologue to learn more.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast. Listen live weekday mornings, 8 to 9:30, or anytime you like as a podcast on the Tom Bernard app at TomBernardShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You damn right. What?
Nothing.
Ooh, there's a little bit of an echo. No, it isn't. No, I don't know what the hell it was. It echoed for a second, but it doesn't anymore.
All right.
So it's fine. Not a problem. It's probably, you know, Sansevier probably put a hex on us or something. That's what I'm thinking anyway.
Absolutely.
Voodoo.
Typical. Typical Sanny. I got to read something which is very, very cool. I was on the phone last night with some of these people. Hi, Tom. This is something I wanted to share with you that just occurred this weekend. Governor Walz signed a proclamation to make next Saturday, April 27th, officially Pat Ebert's Day in the state of Minnesota. How cool is that?
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that. That's tremendous.
Yeah, I just found out about it last night, as a matter of fact. I think it's kind of a coincidence because I think I might know who Governor Walz's personal physician is. And his last name might be Ebert's, too, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
But no, I guess Governor Walz is a big fan. I don't know. I've never met Governor Walz. Some of the things he does drive me nuts. Other things he seems pretty even keel about. But yeah, he said he was listening to this morning's show when he found out that Pat had died. So, Governor, we appreciate your kind words for Pat and calling out Pat Ebert's Day this Saturday. In the entire state of Minnesota, it will be Pat Ebert's Day this Saturday. I'm going to be presenting this to each of his kids next week. That's his brother talking now. In Jamestown at the Civic Center, I am emceeing a charity for St. John's Academy, a Catholic school Pat and I both graduated from, in Pat's place. He was scheduled to do it originally. Oh, he already had Pat scheduled to do it. That's very sad. We are having four classic former singers who sang and played with the bands Kansas, Boston, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and Journey. All proceeds go to the school. I will be doing a dedication to him, to his brother, Pat. And playing the Fox 9 news report that you spoke. Oh, see, that's very, very nice. They're going to play my audio where I was talking about Pat. Well, Pat and I were very, very good friends. I had to protect him from all the people that wanted to surround him at times, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Pat, we miss you. Wanted you to know about it and didn't know if you might say something about this special day. No, I'm not going to talk about it. Pat was only one of my best friends. I'm not going to talk about anything nice about him. Forget it.
Yeah, we'll keep it our little secret about Pat Ebert's Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, here's the great news. We have already sold 2,000 tickets for the event. Ooh. It's going to be a great tribute to Pat Ebert's and a definite honor for his kids. Thank you for the kind words from Mike Ebert's. From Governor Walz, very kind words from Governor Walz as well. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. You know, the last time a politician said something nice about me, what was that? I think I was like 11.
probably checks out, actually, if we look back.
That's what I'm thinking. But, you know, no, that was very, very nice. And Pat, it was just so weird that day. I'm sitting around and my phone rings and it's Bernie Lauer, the head of sales at Hubbard. Bernie's calling me and go, what the hell is Bernie calling me at this time? It was kind of weird. I answer the phone and first thing he chirps about is the fact that Pat had died. Just a very, very sad story. Mm-hmm. Fell asleep in a chair without a CPAP and it killed him, unfortunately. It's the way it sounds anyway. Sounds like it.
That's terrible. So,
it is, yeah.
Yeah.
And it is indeed.
And I looked up, just did a quick, you know, Pat Ebert's day. And so there was KNSI, some radio station, did a little blurb about it. But then the thing they said, Ebert's may be the only Minnesotan who was arrested on air in Canada.
He climbed, that's true.
Do you know more about this? It's saying that he climbed over the safety railing at Niagara Falls.
He did.
And held his cell phone next to the rushing water so the audience could hear it back home.
He did.
Oh, my gosh.
Pat got arrested for doing... Well, you can't climb over the fence at Niagara Falls, for Christ's sake. What are you doing?
No, but that's like the most Pat thing. You guys want to hear the water?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just climb over this railing real quick.
Also, it's a very Pat thing to do, you're right.
How much better of audio are you going to get for climbing over like a 2-inch wide iron pipe and then stick your arm out? Like, come on.
Pat, what are you thinking, mate? He climbs over the fence. It's only, what, about a 400-foot fall, isn't it? It's not that big a deal, is it?
Yeah,
a 40-story building.
For like 15, I'd be saying, you know, that'd be dangerous, but 400, not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's not a problem. You land in the water, so there's a cushion, you know. That is such a Pat thing to do. It's unbelievable. I really do miss Pat because one thing about Pat was when he had something to talk about, he would call you like 5 or 6 times that day to talk about it. It's like, Pat, we already talked about this 5 times. I know, but there are a couple more things I wanted to add at the very end. It's like, okay, Pat, you got it, pal. But yeah, I talked to his twin brother, Mike, last night, and he was telling me about Governor Walz, you know, talking about hearing that. He heard about Pat dying on this show, apparently, which is very nice to hear. So it makes me sad. Obviously, he's my wife's third cousin. They didn't even know they were cousins until much after they met. But, yeah, they're both from Catherine's father and the entire Ebert's family from Jamestown, North Dakota. So that is that deal. But that's quite a family history. I'll close with this. Catherine's father fought in World War II, and I mean in the middle of it, freeing concentration camps, the whole deal. He was 16 years old. Can you even imagine that? He was 16 years old serving in World War II. Now, back then you could do it. You can't do that now. You have to be, I think, over 18 to serve anywhere but the United States, so... But can you imagine coming across all these skeletons and corpses and all those people in the concentration camps when you're 16 years old?
No.
Jesus.
I'm not strong enough to handle that at any age.
No, exactly.
I couldn't imagine being in high school and being, you know what, I'm going to skip out on, you know, math today. We're flying over and we're going to go look at some, or like go be in a war. I think that's unbelievable what the previous generations have done.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, you look at World War I, World War II, the Vietnam conflict, the whole damn thing. It's just the Korean War went on. Now we got 2 more wars going on. Can we ever stop warring over there in that Eastern Hemisphere? Would that be okay with you? I love how the Western Hemisphere, we suck, we're horrible. Yeah, there's 1/5 the people in this hemisphere that are in the Eastern Hemisphere, and you guys cannot stop going to war against one another.
Yeah.
I think the biggest war we ever had in the Western Hemisphere was when 4 guys fought other guys on the Mexican border. That was probably about the biggest war we ever had, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's other than that, it's like, you know, the Civil War, like you're saying, stuff like that. But there's not really too many wars. We kind of outsource our wars and we go over to other countries.
Do you know what's so amazing is that, and I can't remember where I heard this stat, but it was from a professor at a university. Asked the question of high school students across America, what was the Civil War all about? Hardly any of them, and I mean a very small percentage of them, knew it was about slavery. They had no idea that it was about slavery.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what they thought it was about?
I can't, but I know why you're smiling, because it was something. What was it about?
I don't know what it. I don't know what it was about, but I don't know what on earth anybody thought the Civil War was about.
Right, that's a good point.
Other than slavery,
I have heard though some things that people thought it was about, and I can't remember. It was just this ridiculous thing, where they were fighting over who could wear blue pants. Like, no, that's not why they were fighting. So shut up. But you know, that's the whole thing. So. I suppose we better take a break. We got, what's that Hun Yuck's name again we have on right away? Flip?
Yep, Flip.
Oh, he's back today?
Flip is back.
Flippity-doo-dah. There you go. We will be right back. Phil Mackey. Mackey. We'll be right with us. K&L Surplus and Ammo in Lana Lakes, my choice for firearms and ammunition. Jim, the owner, is one of the most knowledgeable people in the business and is great at getting you the right firearm for your needs. K&L Surplus and Ammo also works with local groups on raffles and auction fundraisers. If your group has a fundraiser, which is great, we love fundraisers. If you got a fundraiser coming up, make sure to call Jim at K&L. Their number is 763-757-2614. He can put together a great package for your event and help you raise more money. K&L Surplus and Ammo's on Lake Drive in Lana Lakes and open Tuesday through Saturday. You can reach them by phone at 763-757-2614, or you can also visit them online at www.klgunstore.com.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees, I want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. It's very, very nice of you to be doing that. To thank you, they're having an overstock, clearance, and new product sale right now for the best prices ever when you use promo code Tom. Like I told you, man, it's a very big deal.
Tom told me.
And you get the free shipping on your entire order, which is a great thing. So it, actually, you know, if you throw my name out there, you get free shipping. So that's not too bad, actually. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0. Also get 50% off the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived. They won't last long. Six-pack towel sets for only $29.98. And take advantage of the free shipping on larger items such as mattresses, mattress toppers, 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything's on sale from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels, which are great, by the way. They actually absorb. That's what I'm talking about. They have dog beds, blankets, couch pillows. They have a lot more. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com. Call 800-516-5146. Use promo code Tom. And you get free shipping on your entire order. So call 800-516-5146 or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Tom.
You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. So a little joy over the weekend. Actually, you could talk about a Twins win and a Timberwolves win, and then the rest of the weekend sucked.
What do you mean the rest of the weekend sucked? Like, I'm fine with one Twins win on a weekend. That's a development. The Twins winning a game over the weekend. I mean, that's my bar.
That's it.
I mean, did you have a bad weekend in your personal life or something?
I did not.
Good.
I like it when my team has better than, what are they, like 6-85? What's their record?
I mean, that's a little bit of an, I think it's like 6-78, but you know, you just
somewhere in there.
The energy, because they won on Saturday, right? Yep. It was because they won on the same day the Timberwolves won game one against the Suns. Yes. I was in the arena. I was buzzing around downtown, and it was, you know, Twins fans, Wolves fans in the Target Field, Target Center corridor. The energy, and by the way, the Timberwolves are responsible for like 98% of the positive, fun energy And the Twins were there and they, you know, they won a game. But it is, it doesn't happen very often. It's not like Boston where teams are just winning championships all the time and dynasties.
Right.
So when you have a fun day or a fun playoff run about to start, I love that sports energy in town because we don't, it's like an eclipse, Tom. We don't get it very often around here.
Well, there's no question. You know, why did you have to bring up Boston? I don't want to be in a bad mood. I love the city of Boston, by the way. I just love the place. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you want some lobster, go to Boston.
Some lobster?
Lobster, lobster, best on earth, no doubt about it.
Where do you park your car when you go to Boston?
I park it right next to the Fairmont. I park it by the Fairmont. Yeah. But I will tell you, how many Super Bowls won by Boston / New England?
Well, it's six just in the last 20-ish years, right? 25 years. Well, that's Boston. It. They've won six, I guess.
Boston Celtics, how many titles have they won?
Well, funny thing about that. Yeah. They act like those Celtics fans are obnoxious, just baseline. But they act like they're in the middle of a dynasty all the time. They've won one championship since like 1986 or something.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because before that, they won about every other one, didn't they?
I know. That's the thing. Yeah. Bill Russell and
Kevin McHale. Can't take it away from Kevin.
Pain yeah, they had the Bill Russell dynasty. Then they had the McHale Bird situation. Yeah.
No question about it. Their hockey team has won several titles as well. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, whether the Bruins have, in the last 25 years, the Bruins have what? At least one, maybe two?
Yeah, I think a couple.
Something like that.
Two or three.
And then how about the Red Sox? How many World Series did they win the last
The Sox years? Have four, I believe. After four. Not having any for 86 years? 84? Yes. 86 yes. years?
Man. I love the city of Boston. I just absolutely love that town. There's no question about it.
You know, people talk about the Babe Ruths because the Red Sox sold Babe Ruth to the Yankees in like 1920 or something. Mm-hmm. And people talk about that being the worst baseball transaction ever. How could you just give Babe Ruth to the Yankees? Well, the Twins didn't even get. So the Red Sox, I think, got $150,000 for Babe Ruth. So they got
back then. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they got some cash for him. Right. The Twins let David Ortiz walk for nothing.
I know.
He goes to the Red Sox and helps them build a dynasty.
There's
so
no doubt.
That is
it.
The worst transaction in baseball history, just to be clear.
I've never understood why they ever let Ortiz go. He was a hell of a player.
Well, part of it was not that they're like spending spree ownership at Target Field, but it was even like cheaper pole ads back in the day, right?
Yeah.
So you had that. He had like some wrist problems. And then as David tells the story, the Twins organization was trying to get him to hit the ball hard the other way, and he wanted to just sort of hit the ball wherever he wanted to.
Right.
Now, what's funny is he's all mad about Tom Kelly, you know, not seeing the potential. David Ortiz hit balls off the Green Monster the other way, unlike any hitter in Red Sox history. That's so hitting the ball the other way was actually a benefit for him. But you know.
Didn't David Ortiz get involved in some battle at a bar where somebody got killed or something?
Yes.
I thought so. What was
didn't
that
someone
all
get someone,
about?
Did he get stabbed, Kevin? Like something weird happened.
Let me look this story up. Because it was back in wherever he is from. Because he's like considered like the mayor there. So it was like almost an attempted assassination on him while he was at some bar. Somebody stabbed
him. Right.
I mean, he probably does help the economy wherever he decides to reside, right? He's probably, something crazy happened. I don't remember the details.
Okay, we need Tevin to step up today because basically, you know, as this show grows, and Phil, you warned me, Sushi Ray warned me, said, Tom, it takes quite a while to build a podcast. I'm like, come on, let's go. Get moving. Shake your ass. Let's go. You guys both warned me. I remember that. But I think we could do really, really well this week if Tevin would stab AJ.
Well, I won't be
in the news.
I won't be stabbing him because Ortiz was shot, not stabbed.
Oh, he was shot?
Yes. So
I didn't remember that he was shot.
Yeah, he almost died, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a potential hit job that was done on, but it was he was shot by mistake, I guess.
Just want everybody out there, I hope you're watching the video because AJ is looking at his face like, why are you stabbing me to death?
No, well, I'm debating in my head, like, if I had the choice, would I want Tevin to shoot me or stab me? And I think shoot's the way to go.
I have terrible aim.
Like if you get one shot compared to like one attempt to stab, I think I could maybe dodge it. Or if you hit me, then I'm just done. We're good.
I got lucky that I did not complete the trifecta. I've been stabbed and I've been shot in the leg with a bow and arrow, but I've never been shot with a gun.
You got shot in the leg with a bow and arrow?
That is correct. My brother was target practicing and I didn't know he was, and I ran in front of him, hit me right in the left calf. And by the way, your leg locks up immediately when that happens.
Just timber.
Your leg will not move, not a millimeter. Once that arrow goes in, nope, you're not moving. Forget it.
How do you get the, because the arrow, you can't just pull the arrow out, right?
Doesn't it? No, it was like a bullet tip arrow. Yeah. It wasn't okay. Flared. So okay. Yeah, pulling out a flared arrow got to be a real thrill. Yeah, that's got to be fun.
Oh, man. By the way, on a similar, we're talking baseball, we're talking people getting shot and stabbed. Do you guys remember, I saw Randy Johnson, the former big left-handed pitcher for 25 years. He was on the Pat McAfee show last week. I think it was the Pat McAfee show. He was on a big national show. And remember that time like 25 years ago at spring training where Randy Johnson threw a 98-mile-an-hour fastball and a bird flew across home plate?
Yep.
And he kills a bird. And he was telling the story on the radio show or podcast last week. And he's like, what's amazing about my career is, you know, I throw 4,000, 5,000 strikeouts, four straight Cy Young Awards, World Series MVP, and people remember me for killing a bird in spring training. That's my legacy.
Wasn't he also like 6'10"?
Yes.
Yeah. He's huge. I know. I remember that.
And yeah, he was very scary to face.
That wasn't here, was it?
The bird thing?
Yeah.
It was in Arizona.
Arizona? They have birds in Arizona? I didn't even know that.
It was the skeleton bird.
Across. It was a roadrunner running across the field.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah, that I do remember seeing that video. That he smoked that bird too, man. It was not like a little clip or anything.
And apparently, the feathers flew up in the air and landed, you know, on the spot. But the carcass of the bird sort of deflected over by the on deck circle.
Right.
And one of the hitters kind of walked over and like poked it with a bat. Yep, it's dead. Hell?
Yeah, I do remember that. Randy Johnson was a hell of a pitcher. Well, first of all, you're 6'10 and you get to stand on a mound. What the hell is that?
Yeah, and he's got, that left-handed reach, too, and he would stand sometimes over on the rubber. The famous clip is from, 1993 All-Star Game, and John Kruk, left-handed hitter. Left-handed hitters were scared to face him because he's literally coming. It's like a tree limb coming from behind your body throwing 100 miles an hour. And John Kruk was a right-handed hitter. He was a left-handed hitter who he moved to the right side of the plate and put his helmet on backwards and was like, I'll just stand here and you can strike me out and then I can go back safely to the dugout.
One of my favorite baseball stories of all time in 1987, might have been 88. I know that Ron Davis was still with the team. Was he still with the team in 88 or is it 87?
Was he still there in 87?
I thought he was.
Toward the end of his run.
It was the very end of his run, yeah. It might have been 86, though. You might be right about that. But I think
he got a ring.
But I got to put on a uniform and take batting practice with the Twins. Ron Davis, you pain in the ass that you are. Actually, he was a very good guy. I bat right-handed. He throws right-handed. He throws a ball at me. And first of all, another guy. He's like 6'5", wasn't he? Something like that?
Yeah.
The big fella?
Mm-hmm.
He released that ball. It's coming right at my noggin. So I bail out. After bailing out, I noticed the ball crossed the left side of the plate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Ron. You made me look like a complete fool. But don't worry about me.
Are there pictures of you in a baseball uniform, in a Twins uniform can dig up?
Yeah, they're out there somewhere. I know.
It's always funny when non-major league players like wear a baseball uniform. It's funny that Major League Baseball still has managers wearing baseball pants and uniforms.
That's true.
You know, like Lou Piniella just walking out there with his gut hanging out of his baseball pants.
Who was the guy that wouldn't wear the uniform? There was one coach that wouldn't wear the uniform. He had to wear a suit.
Oh, really? Well, Connie Mack would wear.
There you go. Connie Mack. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because he wouldn't wear a uniform, right?
It is. Yeah. Think about if major league managers wore suit and tie for every game.
Yeah.
NBA coaches did for years until the pandemic. The pandemic made everything more casual for NBA mm-hmm. coaches, and now they just wear hooded sweatshirts and stuff. But
The pandemic. Now we got to think about that all day because of you. It's your fault.
Wow, a passing mention, and now Tom's day is ruined. Well, what else can I make a passing mention of? Let's see here. KQ management. Pandemic. Wars across the entire globe. Let's trigger Tom.
I thought I told you it's DQ management, not KQ management.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I did get a message that that Tony is up. I think he's back. I don't know if he's back or not, but he was talking about the fact that he was indeed ill. That's why he was out for like 3 weeks. Because about 99.9% of people thought he had left there to come over here.
Who? Tony Lee?
Yeah. That's what they thought.
Okay.
Tony and I've known Tony for 40 years.
Yeah. Tony and I worked together for 10 years. Between him working with you for decades.
Indeed, it's true. But yeah, he did acknowledge that he was ill, but I still don't know what his illness was. I have no idea. I hope that he's doing well.
He's got Timberwolves fever. That's what he's got.
Oh, yes, that's what it is. I'm certain of that. Honest to God. He did come up with some great bits back in the day. That boy can write a bit.
Oh, my gosh. He put together – so he essentially put together – when we launched Score North, he essentially put together all of the branding and imaging for this new brand that we were launching. And, yeah, one of my favorite all-time coworkers, Tony Lee. Love that guy.
That's a good move. I mean, having him do your promos and all that stuff. But it's just you know what's interesting about that? Because we only got about 1 minute. We can close with this because I've never understood this. I was watching the two boys chirping at each other again last night. You got Biden, you got Trump, and you suck. No, you suck. Well, you suck more than I suck. And you're a horrible human being. No, you're a horrible human. Yeah, you know, that's what they do. In 37 years at KQRS, I don't think we ever badmouthed another morning guy. They badmouthed us all the time because we were kicking the shit out of them. That's probably why they did it. There was one guy I couldn't stand as a human being. He's just a hateful little prick, right? I never even badmouthed him. And I, to this day, won't tell you who it was. Why do I need to badmouth anybody? I can whoop your ass without badmouthing you. Who cares?
Can I ask two questions? Because I'd love to figure out who this is. Is it someone who, and you know, you don't have to answer if you don't want to. Is it someone who still has a show active in the Twin Cities?
That is correct.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Okay. Do I get one more question or?
Yeah, you
get. Are we getting too close to the? Okay.
Oh, I don't give a rat's ass. You can say who it is. I don't care. What's he?
No,
do?
I don't want that smoke right now. Listen, I still have.
Exactly.
You don't need the bridges like I do, Tom. I've got 25 years left in this industry.
Well,
you might still
days.
Too, by the way. You might still have 25 years left.
Let me just tell you something. I'm going to work till I'm 100. I'm going to go to Murray's and just die in the booth. Sydney. God, I do miss Sydney like a son of a bitch. I really do.
Man, anyway. He'd be having fun right now. He'd be at these Timberwolves press conferences with his microphone up to Anthony Edwards. Yeah, he'd be.
Let me just say this to you, Phil Mackey. Martina Navratilova. God damn it. I loved it when he used to do that. But yeah, let me say that again. Why would you sit and badmouth the other guy who's president or used to be president? I'd go the other route. Oh, you know, he's a good guy. I think I'm better at it than he is. He's a good guy, though. I think badmouthing each other is a really bad idea. I really do.
It shows insecurity, right? It's like the end of the movie 8 Mile with Eminem. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but it's the end of the movie is a rap battle. And instead of Eminem getting up there and just trying to like out insult the other guy, he spends 4 minutes telling you everything about himself. He self-deprecates for 4 minutes and says, here, throws the microphone, says, here, tell them something they don't know about me now. Right. Tosses the microphone. That's what I would do. I would just be self-deprecating at these debates.
I just don't understand. Oh, that guy's the worst, but he's going to drive the country over the deep. Oh, the democracy's coming to an end. No, it's not. Look, you guys have all effed up everything you touched, and all of you have done that.
And if you want to be self-deprecating, you could pretend to trip up the steps, and then when someone comes to grab you, you can say, I'm fine. You can pretend to fall asleep at a debate and then wake up.
That's exactly it.
We should be campaign managers on this show.
Well, do you think it's good for the United States to have both presidents? One's under indictment. As a matter of fact, he's in court right now, as a matter of fact.
Maybe and the sleeping, other guy, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's true. And the other guy, of course, has been accused of stealing money from everybody who's ever breathed. Come on. Really?
And if you combine their ages, too, I heard you guys talking about various war things before I jumped on.
Yes,
if you combine their ages, you could get them all the way back to the Civil War in terms of math. You know, it's like 165, carry the four. Yeah, we're back to Abe Lincoln if you put their ages together. Not Abe to be an Lincoln. Ageist. I'm just, you know.
Or you're an ageist.
I'm not an ageist. I'm just saying, like, if we have a limit on the bottom end, you have to be a certain age, right? What is it, 40 or 45?
35.
Okay. Yeah, we don't need, like, an 18-year-old winning the presidency.
Just in the White Office, or Oval Office vaping.
Yeah, some famous TikToker gets himself elected or herself elected.
Yeah. Ah, what's up?
Yeah.
Wait a sec. Did you say it'd be the first time somebody hit the pipe in the White House?
Yeah.
I don't think so. No. I don't think that's true. You ever been in a White House?
Smoke rolls out when you open the front door. Yeah.
Have you guys ever been in the White House?
Nope. I've never been in the White House. No.
Yeah, I went and toured it once.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So the Oval Office, you think they ever hit the pipe in there?
I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely.
The old corn cob pipe. Yeah.
I don't mean to close on a gross note, but when I walked into the Oval Office, I looked at the desk, and all I could picture is Bill Clinton with somebody bent over the desk. That's all I could, because he actually did that, you know, with what's-her-name.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that there's probably, how many presidents have we had? Probably every one of them has had some sort of relationship in the Oval Office.
Okay, we have to close with this one, and you can't lie. Did any of the three of you ever have sex in Studio A of any radio station you worked at?
No.
Don't lie.
No hesitation, no. No.
No.
Tom. It's a yes for Tom. Right?
Look at the Tom. No. Well, wait a minute.
Suddenly we have to break.
What is the definition?
All right, we got to go. Phil ruining the show yet again. Typical.
Go Timberwolves. Go Timberwolves. Let's
take
go.
Take the Twins with you. No go Twins. Just go Timberwolves.
Twins are on timeout, man. Until they can take 3 or 4 from the White Sox.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a good call. I think that's a really good call, as a matter of fact. All right, Pally, looking forward to talking to you on Friday.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks a lot. Phil Mackey, ladies and gentlemen, Score North. We shall take a break right here. Don't lie. You guys have had sex in Studio A.
No. I've heard stories of other people, but yeah, I've never had
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
Mark like a dog. Let me see. The name Smokin' Joe Hager comes up. I don't know why that is. I love Smoking Joe. Minnesota business owners pay too much in taxes. You know that. You don't have to take my word for it either. The Tax Foundation has just released its State Business Tax Climate Index. Minnesota's near the bottom with the 45th worst tax climate in the U.S. When you expand or relocate your business to Sioux Falls, you'll be basking in the second best tax climate in the nation. That's just one reason why, no matter what size business you own, and that's very important, no matter what size your business is, you can increase your profits in Sioux Falls. We've got the proof at SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. In Sioux Falls, our safe streets, award-winning schools, short commutes, vibrant growing downtown, and pro-business attitude are all attractive reasons to make your move. And we've got a motivated workforce that's ready to help your business grow. That's very important. Escape the high taxes of Minnesota by planning your expansion or relocation to Sioux Falls. 2024 is the time to make your move to Sioux Falls. Check out SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
The past several years have been the craziest in the history of the car business. The pandemic, supply chain and chip issues, all causing extreme inventory shortages that led to, well, predatory pricing. Some dealers charge thousands of dollars over MSRP.
We never played that game. I'm Jim Paul of Valley Buick GMC. We knew that would leave a bad taste in a customer's mouth. More importantly, from an integrity standpoint, it was just wrong.
So what about the current market? You know, inventory and pricing.
Valley has their best inventory in years. Really all the Buick and GMC models. Even the previously hard-to-find Yukons, HD pickups, and Hummer EVs. Plenty of deep discounts. Many with factory rebates and low-interest financing.
Then it's a good time to buy?
It's a great time. We're welcoming our previous customers back, as well as anyone else that felt the treatment just didn't feel right the last time somewhere else.
Valley Buick GMC in Apple Valley and Hastings, or valleycardealers.com. Car buying without the bad aftertaste.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
There's a lot that could impress you about the all-new Honda Prologue EV. True, it's got class-leading passenger space and clean, thoughtful design and intuitive technology. But what really sets the Prologue apart from the competition is that it's more than an EV. It's a Honda. Honda, the power of dreams. Visit Honda.com/Prologue to learn more.
I love Jim Paul. Jim Paul, give me a call. We got to go out and have dinner one of these days. It'd be great. When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. Yes, I do. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. And yes, that's double the amount of yes, you need to be an expert. You judge them both by the result of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market, the economy. He knows how to plan for your retirement. Do not put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold, a very good friend of mine. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You got nothing to lose. You only have things to gain. You'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future, which is a very prudent thing. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. I am a paid endorser.
You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We've already been put through the mill today, you know, talking about getting laid in Studio A, talking about getting hit in the head with a baseball. You know, we've covered everything.
Getting shot in studio by our coworkers. Yeah, you know, we've covered all the bases.
That does happen. There's no question about that. My favorite is still the worst thing that ever happened. I mean, it didn't feel that bad because it was, I suppose if I were somebody else, I might have been terrified, but I'm reading a story about this sexual predator, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm reading the story. And I get down to the name of the predator and I go, hey, God, we got to, what? And the guy's standing right behind me. He actually worked at the radio station I was working at. And he was right behind me as I'm reading this story about him being a sexual predator.
Oh,
like,
boy.
Good God. And that wasn't comfortable.
No.
Like, hey, Chad, how you doing? Like,
Chad. Well, the guy's name was Chad, was it?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't even remember his name. But I do remember when I looked up at the camera and saw his face, I went, oh, God. This is quite uncomfortable. I said, hey, I tell you what, why don't we take a break? Uncle Tommy will be right back, and I'll be by myself. What do you think?
Yeah.
That was really uncomfortable. I will never forget that as long as I live. Very, very uncomfortable. You ever been in anything even close to something like that?
No. Most uncomfortable would probably be we had to fire somebody once where when I was working at the House of Comedy because a manager was watching porn on, like, the front desk computer. So, like, as he was selling tickets, he'd have to, like, you know, minimize his porn video and
hand
somebody their tickets. And we're like, hey, you probably shouldn't do that on a work computer.
No. That's... Go ahead.
Did I know him?
No. He was there very, very briefly. He would drink our rail vodka and watch porn during the day.
While he was
supposed to be working.
AJ, you were making a point.
No, I was just, like, I've never been in that type of situation. I've been in some awkward ones where, like, somebody else is getting fired in, like, the room over, and then you just happen to, like, walk through the room, and you're like, you freeze, and you're like, I'm just gonna backtrack. I don't want to. I'll stay a couple extra minutes and be late to the stuff I want to do after work rather than make this super awkward and be like, hey guys, sorry, I just gotta clock out here really quick. Boop, 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 boop. All right. No, I'll wait.
I'd love to stay in schmooze, but I have work to do.
Yeah.
Is that what you gave me? You gave me that
one?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's an interesting business to be. It doesn't surprise you that somebody like that was working in the radio business, does it?
I don't know. I guess not. I don't know.
I think it's surprising, but maybe slightly less surprising just because I feel like people that work in, they're a little more out there personality wise. So mm-hmm. they think like less boundaries at times is kind of like the thing that I've noticed compared to like somebody who works in an office. Like they're in literally like if you're in a cubicle, you have right. borders around you the entire day. So you have a border with other. So it's still surprising because I feel like that is just totally off limits, but not it's not the most surprising.
No, I suppose that is true. Okay, I got to run these three things by you guys and see what you think of this. Three easy things we should all be doing to help the planet.
Okay.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Number one is stop wasting leftovers. It'll save you money. Well, why would you just throw away your leftovers if you like the meal? Why wouldn't you just use it for lunch the next day?
Oh, yeah, I'm a huge fan of leftovers. Like
me too.
Like, yeah. Especially because it's impossible to make just enough for like one or two people, like you're going to have leftovers. So yeah. Let's go.
One thing I got to mention here, whose cuisine has the best leftovers? There's a country in the world that has the best leftovers. It's you can't even argue the point.
I'm probably biased, but I'm saying Italians. Like AJ? Pizza's good leftover pasta. Ooh. Yeah.
See, leftover pasta, I think is not as good, but pizza's fantastic. I think if you just microwave up some like Chinese food, ooh, it works great.
That's,
works
too. Great. Oh, that's
little,
good too.
Little lo mein, yeah.
Okay, we'll go 1.5 to 1.5 because I agree with both of you. So it goes 1-1, and I'll do 1/2 and 1/2 because
okay.
Italian food leftover. See, I love it leftover pasta, even if it's cold, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chinese food, I just my God, what's the best Chinese restaurant in Minneapolis, St. Paul now?
That's tough. I'm partial.
It is a tough one.
And this is, it's more Vietnamese, but they make, there's a lot of crossover there, like the Venn diagram. Caveat is, they have maybe the best egg rolls I've ever had. They're tremendous.
You're going to have to say that name again. Caveat.
Caveat.
Okay.
Like, okay, Vietnam. Is that what that's Caveat is for?
I believe it's Q-U-E and then space V-I-E-T. But yeah, like, okay, Viet. I didn't even thought about it like that. There you go.
Okay, Viet. Now, you know what? It's interesting, guys, because I would say probably my two favorite. Well, you know, look,
yeah,
a steak and a potato is phenomenal. That's fantastic. There's no question. But Italian food and Chinese food, French food, if it's made right, because if you make French food wrong, it's terrible. But if you make it right, it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why that is. Is it that tough to make?
Yeah, I would assume French is more, especially when you get to like high-end French food, culinary, like that is like the mecca, I think, as far as like chefs are concerned. They all like are, if you're French trained, then like you're the best of the best. Yeah. And so like a lot of the acidity from, you know, this orange juice has to balance out this and this has to do this. Yep. And it's more of a chemistry experiment. So if something goes wrong, it's not good. Yeah.
Mexican chow kind of meets Chinese and Italian food in the middle, kind of.
I agree. Yeah.
Really good too. I mean, honest to God, taco. Who doesn't like a taco? If you don't like tacos, get the hell away from me.
If you don't like Mexican food, period, there's something wrong with you. And it's all like, because I was thinking about it the other day, it's all kind of the same. Like if you eat a taco, it's like, you know, you got the flour shell and the meat, cheese, everything inside. Nachos, it's just the taco shell's now broken apart like chips on and everything, but it's still the same meat, cheese, but it still tastes amazing.
It's presented slightly different.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is indeed. A burrito is just a taco rolled up. Like it's all the same and it's all delicious.
You guys might be too young to remember this because I can't remember who it was myself, but there was a guy when Mexican food came on really strong. This is probably 30, 40 years ago, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a guy, every time he went on like the Tonight Show or any like, hey, that's nacho cheese. I was like, oh, yeah, we get it. We get the joke. You don't have to say it every time you open your, yeah, that's nacho cheese. Oh, God. Whatever. Ugh. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything's Americanized here, too, with the cuisines. Because there was, Finesse Mitchell, I think it was a comedian. He was talking about a time where he went to China with a group of friends. And he was like, we get to this Chinese restaurant, and he's like, I just told him, like, I'll order for everybody. Like, I got this down. Actually, it was Ruben Paul. That's who it was.
Okay.
Oh, Ruben Paul.
But anyway, he goes, like, yeah, we're going to take some General Tso's and this. And he said the waiter looked at him like, what are you even talking about? Like, we don't eat.
General
Tso. Right, we don't eat that over here. Like, what is General Tso? Like, no.
Isn't that, yeah, there are different versions. There's no doubt about that. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. Speaking of Italian food, Sani, how can you be Italian and be a vegetarian? How the hell is that even happen?
What?
Is Bob a vegetarian?
Bob's a vegetarian, although I'm vegetarian, Tom. Do you know that? Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, I mean, I do eat pork. It's like, well, then you're not a vegetarian.
I see him shaking his head in the back room.
Yeah, look at him. He's already lying up a storm. Sansevier. Hi, it's Tom for your Livia Weight Control Centers. Now is the time to get a jump on summer. You could lose up to 20 pounds more in your first 8 weeks the Livia way. When you join Livia, you'll receive a personalized doctor and recommended program. It's tailored to your unique needs. And that's a fact. I was talking about that this morning, as a matter of fact. Yes, they tailor it to what you need, not what they need. Livia's amazing team of registered dietitians and nutritionists will guide you every step of the way. Join Livia today and get your first 8 weeks. I said 8 weeks free. I got on the scale this morning. Remember, I started at 265 is where I started. I was down to 252 this morning after 2 weeks on the program. Now I lost 10 pounds. Yeah, I'm down 13 pounds, actually, yeah, because I lost 10 pounds the first week. I lost 3 pounds this past week. Really, really going well. So I'm down to 252. I'm within 38 points of my goal. Join Livia today. You get your first 8 weeks free, as I said. Visit Livia.com. That's Livia.com or call 855-GO-LIVIA. And Livia's now offering GLP-1 medications. Quiet the food noise and see accelerated results by summer. Visit Livia.com or call 855-GO-LIVIA. Start your weight loss journey now and get a jump on summer the Livia way.
Is that text you're sending so important that you miss your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Let us take a second to talk about my bank. That would be North American Banking Company. Look, there is no shortage of banking options in the Twin Cities. We know that. If you're tired of being just a number to your big national bank, be sure to talk to my friends, and they are my friends. I don't call people my friends unless they are my friends. Milski. North American Banking Company. They offer the same online and mobile banking options as the other banks, but with the unparalleled service of a community bank, which I love. I also like being able to go to any of their 6 Twin Cities locations, Roseville, 50th and France, Hastings, Woodbury, Shoreview, and Maple Grove. So, if you're looking for a better banking experience, why not bank with my friends, and they are my friends, at North American Banking Company. Go to nabankco.com to learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Sansevier Sports brought to you by Bradshaw & Bryant. Personal injury lawyers seeking justice for the injured. Contact Bradshaw & Bryant at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Sandy!
Hey, just to set the record straight, I ain't no freaking vegetarian.
You claim
I don't eat red meat. I never do.
Yes,
I
you did.
Don't eat red meat. That does not make me a vegetarian. Lay heavy on my stomach, and I never was that crazy about it anyway. It was easy to give up.
Well, there you go. So now what meats do you eat?
All the others. Well, I mean, I don't eat goat or whatever that is. And goat. I eat chicken. I eat turkey. I do eat, I'll tell you what, nothing like a good pork chop or rib off the... off your pigs. My son was talking about maybe raising pigs because he had a pig. There's some kind of a pig, and he wasn't sure of the name of it. That's like a cross between a boar and a pig. He said it's the best pork chop he's ever had, and the guy never seasoned it.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, I don't remember what the name is, and he was trying to figure it out. But that's what he wants to get because he goes, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it with the best of them.
Okay, I want to ask you guys a question because I get very, very lucky because I'm on the Livia program. I've lost 13 pounds in the first 2 weeks, got 38 to go. Be down to 214 for the first time since I was in, I believe, sixth grade, something like that. I went to a 6'1" and 215 pounds when I was in seventh grade. What the hell is that?
Okay, how did you arrive at the 214? Because it would be the lowest you've been since.
Because I was 215.
It's a little odd number. Or you want to get under that number.
I want to get under the 215. And by the way, I was still not the biggest kid in my class by far. Jim Brown was like 3 inches taller than me.
A hell of a running back.
Yeah, he was. That's exactly right. He was one hell of a running back, I'll tell you that. But no, I got to ask you guys a question. One thing that's I'm very, very lucky, because I do eat red meat, you know, eat all the meats and all that stuff. But when I go on a diet, the thing that really, really helps me a lot on my diets is I love shrimp cocktail. You know how much shrimp you get? Shrimp has like zero fat and calories in it.
And carbs.
And carbs. No, yeah, no carbs in it either. I'm talking the breaded ones obviously do. But, I mean, you can sit down and eat a dozen shrimp, and I think there's like 100 calories in the whole dozen shrimp. I mean, that's
amazing.
Why stop
with a dozen?
Maybe $1.20, something like that. It's right around that number in any case. But I eat a lot of shrimp cocktail, which I love anyway. And I absolutely, and I don't know why, because I never had it as a kid ever. Ground turkey is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. God, is it good. And it's either in a patty or you can just crumble it up and put it on a couple pieces of keto bread. Notice I said keto bread, trying to stay with the message.
All right, while we're doing here's a PSA for people. Do you ever shop? Does Catherine shop at Costco? Do you guys go to Costco?
Oh, all the time.
Okay. Yep. You want two things you need to get. The Amy Lou chicken Gouda apple sausages. Phenomenal. And Amy Lou also makes the, it's a chicken basically burger that has infused with cheese and onions, caramelized onions. It's they're both through the roof terrific.
Isn't that wonderful? That well, first of all, Costco has really great beef. Their steaks are fantastic. They really are. I mean, I love going to Costco anyway, except for the part that you can't breathe because there are 7 billion people in there.
That one in St. Louis Park, finding a parking space. I mean, it is, you have to have a game face on when you go there.
You do. You absolutely do. Matter of fact, Andy used to live across, you know, those townhouses right behind it there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He lived there.
Yeah. He lived there for a long time. And he said he finally learned the rhythm of the whole thing, when to go to Costco. So it wasn't just packed with
people.
Wow.
Share it.
Yeah. He had it all timed out perfectly, I guess. But yeah, Costco is great. I love Costco.
My one complaint is I was there last week and they don't, I just like cheese curds that are natural, plain. I don't want onions. I don't want ranch. I want cheese curds, plain. Mm-hmm. You don't have to add these additives. So can you please, if your Costco's listening, can you just put the natural in there?
Works for me.
Anyway.
I got no problem with it. And yeah, so, I mean, that's the great thing about this whole deal. If you, well, again, Bob, you don't eat meat. You don't like the taste of it. You don't like
There's too many other great options, honestly. I understand. Tommy. Like these sausages I just mentioned and these burgers.
You know, one thing I've never
roof.
Had. They're good. Let me They're run phenomenal. This by you, if you guys ever had it. How about crumbled up turkey on a pizza? Would that be good? I can't decide if that'd be good or not.
I've always felt putting anything on a pizza besides cheese is bastardizing it, but that's
right. Yeah, there you go. And I do know that that's the truth with you. You do think that's true.
Okay, but I will say, and I've tried it, and it's terrific. The sausages I mentioned, the apple Gouda, I've cut those up and thrown them on a pizza.
Oh, delicious.
And everything's pre-cooked. So, yeah, you want to, you know, you want to put it in a microwave or put it in a pan to get it a little sizzling. But, I mean, you don't have to. I actually cut one up yesterday and threw it in a salad without cooking it because I didn't want it to be hot.
I understand that 100%. Bob, let me ask you a question. I've asked people, friends my whole life, growing up Catholic. I've known a lot of Italians, obviously. Who made the very first pizza?
I don't know if it was Italians.
I don't know either. I have no idea who made the first pizza, but whoever it is, you're God to me.
Well, I'm guessing it was probably, I mean, obviously when they first started making it, it wasn't that expensive to make.
No.
It's dough, some sauce, and, you know, cheese.
It looks like a man by the name of Rafael Esposito is credited as making the first pizza in Naples, Italy.
When?
What do you think? Sandy!
There's no date here. Let's see if I click into the
I'm seeing the history of pizza dates far further back than Esposito's era of the late 1800s, so before the late 1800s.
So who made, they don't know who made the first one?
Rafael Esposito.
Mm-hmm. That's who he just said, yeah.
That's who he just said.
From Naples, yeah.
Yep.
But you said it was made before that.
They're saying, like, there's history of it, but in terms of, like, mass producing and, like, actually consistently doing it, it looks like it's Rafael Esposito.
I suppose if you were spending most of your time, because they didn't have bread back in the 1600s or whatever, so I suppose you did just pound down the dough, and if you throw a little tomato sauce and cheese on there, you got a pizza.
Yeah, you don't need to put oregano with it. It's good. And because I try not to eat too much dough because it is higher in carbs, but there is nothing growing up better than a pizza or a calzone.
Oh, God, yes.
Calzones are phenomenal. Yeah.
All right. It looks like in 1889, pizza not yet become a popular or well-known dish and was typically eaten by poor people as a way to utilize like all of the wasted ingredients. So about 1889 is when Esposito made it popular.
Love it.
They considered mozzarella wasted materials.
Well, no, we're talking, the leftover meats and cheeses, Bob.
Yeah. All right.
Bob, do you have friends from New York that Italian friends? Because I definitely do, being in a record business. So I used to travel all over the United States with these guys. I just love Italians when they go into an Italian restaurant. So you go, hey, Tom, you want to go grab some Italian food? There's this, I know you ever been to this bada-beep-bada-bop-bada-boop restaurant? I said, no, I've never been there. Well, let's go over there. Like, so we're on the way over. He goes, God, you're really going to like this. It's going to be unbelievable. It's really, really delicious. You walk through the front door. Hey, how you doing? All of a sudden, they got an accent. What the heck? Where did that come from? It's what?
Well, it's like when I go back to Jersey, it's a booster shot. I think I sound Midwestern now. I don't sound like I'm from Jersey.
No, you don't. That is true.
But it doesn't take much to fall back into it. Hey, what's going on? What do you say?
Hey, what are you doing? What are you talking about?
Put a little bit of more mozzarella on that bad boy.
I love Italians. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
No.
All right, Sandy, so we got one basketball win. We got one baseball win the whole weekend. The basketball win was very, very important. The baseball win was one out of three, so it was okay.
Hey, I was wrong about those Timberwolves. I thought they'd be getting crushed.
Everybody did, didn't they?
That was impressive. And, you know, here's the great matchup coming up here with your White Sox and your Twins. This is as of a couple of days ago, so it's worse now. Because I didn't do the math before we came on. I didn't have that time. The Twins were on pace to lose 108 games. But here's the key to the stat. And still finished 28 games ahead of the White Sox. That is how bad the White Sox are. We got three wins.
They're terrible.
Oh, it's three unbelievable. Wins. Yes. And now, okay, they better not have four more after this series.
No, it could happen. That Twins team is terrible.
It is.
I mean,
terrible.
I'm sorry. It's a terrible team.
And I blame it's on the ownership and on the their front office brain trust because they allowed this to happen.
Bob, I have never seen a team that boots the ball around more as a Twins team in my life. They're kicking this and they're kicking that. I was like, my God, that team sucks.
Hey, but on the plus side, Louis Varland's ERA is under 10.
Hey, now under 10.
Yeah, he got roasted yesterday.
Yes, he did.
He's a guy that wanted to go. He didn't want to be in the bullpen. He wanted to be a starter. How's that going, Louie?
Was it 6-1 yesterday?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah,
6-1 yesterday. And he went 2.2 or 2 2/3 innings.
2 2/3 and gave up how many runs?
Four earned runs.
Jesus.
But, he just piled onto his earlier, bad ERA.
Indeed. So, I have never, and not just the Twins, mostly the Twins, but not just the Twins, I have never seen more booted balls in April than I have this year. My God, they're kicking the ball around everywhere.
You know what, though? That goes to coaching. And you didn't see that with Tom Kelly or Gardenhier.
No.
There were fundamentals going on.
Yep.
Molitor, too. I mean, this stuff did not happen. I don't know what they do nowadays. If it's like basketball where the coach really has no say. Maybe the manager is just there because you have to have somebody to hand in a lineup card.
Well, you might be right about that. That is a possibility.
Well, you'll never hear me go after Rocco because he's Rocco.
Nice Italian boy.
Baldelli, that's right. I'll find something good about him. Always.
You guys are probably not old enough to remember this, but what I love too about the Italian boys in town that I grew up with, and a damn Rocco Altobelli. I said, no, that guy he cut hair. He was not a pitcher. He was not a coach. You remember Rocco Altobelli? Were you living in town then?
Oh, yeah.
Rocco Altobelli. They even had a jingle.
Doesn't he? He had a school not far from where that other place was. Actually, I would go by there every time I'd went to go to Totino's to pick up food because it was on the route. Rocco Altobelli's, I don't know what it was, school of hair.
Is that the one something over on Lake Street you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the one in Minneapolis when you cross the river.
Oh, right there. Yeah, okay.
I don't remember what the cross section was.
I understand. I know where you're talking. So when they had moved over to the warehouse district over there.
Yeah.
I just want to thank Steiny for that again. I loved working with Mark Stein and Metz, but that one I wasn't wild about. I'm living on a farm in Dayton. So let's move the station from Golden Valley to St. Paul. Yeah, thanks, Mark. I really appreciate it.
He got a smoking deal on it because it was warehouse space, and it was convenient for some other people who worked there. Never mind the guy who's the host of your morning show and bringing in all the dough.
Yeah, I mean, why would you want to take care of that guy? I mean,
did he ever consult you on moving there?
No, hell no. They never consulted me on anything, including some of the Hun yucks. Actually, when Hamilton and Steinmetz were there, they did consult me on almost everything. After that, no. After that, the people who drove the station right into the ground would never come to me and ask my opinion on something because they knew everything. Of course, everywhere they ever worked got their ass kicked, but apparently nobody pays attention to that.
Well, and then so many of them looked better because of the success of the morning show.
I guess. Whatever it takes, Bob. That's all I have to say is whatever it takes.
And you know what, though, Tom? You knew how to, unlike these managers in town and these owners, you knew what it took. And you overcame management to make it work.
We tried. Huh? We tried. I know that.
And real quick, I know where you got to go to break, but one of the listeners came through for you, Bob. Mr. Ramos said that St. Cloud Costco, plain cheese curds. So check them out. You can get the cheese curds.
Ooh, I will check it out because that's not that far from me. Half an hour to 40 minutes from St. I'd rather go there than, is there good ask them if there's good, if you can park. Parking in St. Louis Park is incredible.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we'll ask them about the parking report back Friday.
I actually intentionally drove my car and not my truck because you can't get a truck parked. These slots are too thin. You can't back one up. It's mayhem there.
The St. Cloud Costco, it's like all by itself. So you're gonna have more than enough parking. You're gonna be fine.
Ooh, I like it.
I'm never going to St. Louis Park again. And the one in Maple Grove, Tom, I get lucky if I can get to it. That thing is a maze.
Finding
anything in Maple Grove.
You are correct, sir. All right, Sandy, a brilliant report, I thought.
Yeah.
What? That gave me a compliment.
You know what? You take anything out of it, you call the missus, tell Catherine, hey, Amy Lou Sausages, the apple gouda. And
I'll start calling my wife Amy Lou Sausage. What do you think?
See how that goes for you.
See how that works out.
The Amy Lou chicken, you want to call it a cutlet, call it a cutlet. But it's infused with, I think they must have a deal with the gouda company. Because I think it's got gouda and it has, it's got caramelized onion. You say caramelized onions, that's dressing it up for me.
I understand. No question. Well, thanks for the tip, Bob. I will give that a whirl because that sounds delicious.
You will go nuts.
I will lose my mind. And they're available all over the United States, are they not?
Yes, and very quickly. I used to, because you could get a four-pack in from like Lund's or Byerly's at one point. And I said, wait a minute, they're in Chicago. I actually called, got the marketing director on the phone. He would ship me 10 pounds every few weeks. And I give him a credit card, and it was great. But then when I noticed Costco had them, I said, I don't want to keep having you sending them. So I just started getting them from Costco. You get an 18-pack.
18-pack?
It's six to a pack, and it's folded up. You'll love it. Trust me. You'll eat six at a time. And they're low in your calories and your carbs.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
It'll help you wonderfully.
It's wonderful news. Sandy, we'll talk to you on Friday.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Bob Sansevier Sports brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury lawyer seeking justice for the injured. Contact Bradshaw and Bryant at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That is MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. We'll take a break. Be right back. We'll schmooze a bit. Kristen Burt coming up in about 10, 11 minutes, somewhere in there. Be right back. When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
Hi, guys. It's Chris Seggert from Channel 5 Morning News, along with my friends Megan Newquist and Ken Barlow. In the morning, we pride ourselves on sharing people's stories. I've been lucky enough to be part of this 5 Eyewitness News morning team for more than a decade now. This is where I've raised my kids, working alongside my friends for all these years. We're like a family, too.
We are family, Chris. Working with you and Ken and Hannah, it is such an honor to help folks start their day every morning on Channel 5. We get to catch people up on the news that's happening, and Hannah is here to keep an eye on the traffic around town.
And when it comes to weather, I know people rely on me to plan their day and get their family out the door. Over the last 10 years, there are so many memories and so many laughs. I just love sharing the forecast alongside you guys.
I feel the same way, Ken. To all you who start your day with us here on Channel 5, we think of you as family too. Thanks for turning on 5 Eyewitness News in the mornings.
In addition to having the best selection in town, K&L Surplus and Ammo also can help you sell your firearms safely and worry-free. Very, very important. You've inherited a collection of firearms from a loved one, don't know what to do with them, or if you have guns you're no longer using, call Jim at K&L Surplus and Ammo. Jim can help you sell those firearms safely and through consignment and auction. I know Jim. He's an extremely knowledgeable guy, great guy, too. Will help you get top dollar, which is very important, of course. He will help you explore all the options and take the work and stress off of your shoulders. K&L Surplus and Ammo is on Lake Drive in Lina Lakes and open Tuesday through Saturday. You can also visit them online at www.klgunstore.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When sweet tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, they thought, why stop there? Why not create other exciting and unexpected combinations, like rainbows and ropes, or fruity and gummy, or chewy and more chewy? That's why they created fun treats like sweet tarts twisted rainbow ropes, gummies fruity splits, and chewy fusions. When you dare to combine, it's sure to blow your mind. Sweet tarts, dare to combine. Visit sweettartscandy.com to shop now.
You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
Warren Tootin, I just realized I was going to ask you about three things, and we got to one, and then I got off track on somehow. Three easy things you should be doing to help the planet.
Yeah.
Number one, we already talked about, stop wasting leftovers. You don't waste leftovers anyway. Leftovers are fine. Is it because I grew up poor that I love leftovers?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, usually, like, you're making food that you enjoy, I think. And so as an adult, you're like, yeah. I like to eat that. But yeah. I think being, maybe growing up poor where that might have something to do with it.
Because I love leftovers. I'm trying to think of something I don't like. They got to be some foods I wouldn't eat as leftovers, I suppose.
Yeah, like there's some stuff where it's like you maybe you're packing them up in like the Tupperware and stuff like that. But then you're like, you know what? Is this really going to be good tomorrow? Is this cooked steamed corn really going to be good a day later? I can let that one go. I'll keep the pork chop, but not the corn.
Yeah.
Stop mentioning steamed corn. I don't get to eat corn on the Livia diet. So
oh, really? Shut up. Is corn bad for you?
Well, corn's got a lot of sugar in it.
Does it?
Starch.
Yeah, it's not the greatest for you.
I
love it. I no idea. Corn on the cob, forget about it.
Yeah.
Especially over like an open pit roasting.
Oof. Yeah.
Oh, God, is that good.
Slathered in butter and
keep
salt.
Keep talking. Keep talking. Yes.
Yes, the butter and salt are very important in the cob of corn. Corn on the cob, or what the hell ever it's called. So we didn't get to this one. Stop overusing napkins. Well, we use cloth napkins, so it's pretty hard to overuse them because you just wash them, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. See, in my place, we do the, like, the paper napkin.
Right, yep. Right.
And, yeah, I mean, we probably go a little overboard because it's like, okay, I want to clean my plate off, but, you know, this one that I've used is already super disgusting. I'll just grab a new one quick and wipe it down and into the garbage, and that makes dishwashing a little easier.
I got to be honest with you, though. If they're trying to blame the planet being poisoned on a piece of paper, I don't think so. Paper napkins aren't going to poison anything.
No, it's me specifically.
It's yes, it's just you.
It's because I wanted my face clean.
Yep.
No, I don't mind using paper napkins at all because they just disappear. They just come apart at the seams and disappear. It's not a problem. Mm. Now, this one I do understand. And Catherine, I got to be honest with you. Most of my life with Catherine, she's been using reusable grocery bags. She's got like 20 of them. She's got a lot of reusable grocery bags, man. Don't you think that's wise anyway?
Yeah, the tough thing for me is always forgetting to put them back in my car because I do a lot of like random grocery shopping. And so I'll be like, oh, I don't have them in my car, so now I have to use paper bags. But yeah, if you have reusable ones, they're phenomenal.
I know that's been kind of a talk around Minnesota. Like some cities may think about banning plastic shopping bags at some point. Or like you can buy, you have to buy them at the store. I just like them for the fact that like, you can use them as like a dog poop bag or like a garbage can in the bathroom. You throw it in there and then boom, you're done.
Yep.
It is absolutely true. But yeah, so reusable garbage bags, you go with stop overusing napkins, which I said we use cloth napkins. That's not a problem. We don't waste leftovers. There are certain things that leftover, we just make sure we eat it all. Because some things do not make good leftovers. That is true.
Yeah. Like anything that's supposed to be like crispy. A lot of times doesn't
right.
Like you're not gonna have a leftover salad.
No.
I'm not gonna have a salad in the first place. So there you go. I love salad when it has like blue cheese and French dressing on it, but that of course is very high in calories, so you can't have that. So you get like, well, squeeze a lemon on it. Why don't you squeeze this lemon, right? I'm gonna squeeze a lemon on a bunch of weeds.
I got some lemons for you to squeeze.
I got some lemons for you to squeeze. That's exactly right. But see, I love salads, but I love salads because of blue cheese and French dressing. And if you can't have that, I don't want a salad.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much. That's pretty much sums it up. Like, it's salad. Eating a salad because it's healthy sounds fun until you realize what a healthy salad is. And you're like, yeah, I don't want any part of
it. It's just the greens and like a light vinaigrette. And you're like, I kind of hate this.
It's terrible.
I will say, I don't know who invented croutons, but croutons are terrible.
What?
Croutons are such a waste.
Leave.
If they're too, what is it, that one flavor that kicks into high? It's not onion. It's
the
not
garlic?
Garlic?
Maybe it is garlic. But if they're too garlicky or oniony, I don't like them. That is true.
My problem is like I'm eating a salad and it's like it's crispy, it's crunchy, it's light. And then it's like, hey, here's a small pebble. Try to get this on your fork. And then when it's in your mouth, you're going to crack a tooth.
That is a tough part is getting the fork to. But croutons, I'll eat croutons straight out of the bag with no salad. They're so good.
They disrupt the flow of the salad, in my opinion.
The flow of the salad, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we're going with. So, you know, I've been thinking about this since Bob mentioned it. Now, I was trying to think, if I was getting a chair, they're going to put me in the electric chair, what would your last meal be?
Mine, without a doubt, overnight French toast. Like, it'd be a huge breakfast spread.
A huge breakfast makes sense. It does. AJ?
My dad does really good, like, smoked ribs. So I would do that with like the smoked mac and cheese we usually do, your corn on the cob, little cornbread, you know, a nice little barbecue last meal.
Yeah, barbecue last meal would be good.
Yeah.
I probably would go with Italian food, like a plate of pasta or a pizza or something like that. I probably would go with Italian food.
Can't go wrong with that, though.
No.
God, I love Italian food. Is that, you know, you don't have much. Do you ever go to Rao's? Or, well, they got Rao's now on the shelves at the supermarket. Mm-hmm. But have you ever been to the Rao's either in New York City or in Vegas?
No, nope. I have not.
Oh, God, their food is good. Honest to God, it's unbelievable. I used to know the maitre d' there, and he's just gigantic Italian guy, but he was about 85.
Okay.
Hey, you don't come in here and start trouble. I just want you to know that. I'm like, an 85-year-old guy just threatened me. I kind of like that.
You're like, buddy, I just want some fettuccine.
I just came here for the handmade pasta noodles. Like, don't shoot.
I love that so much. There's no question about it. All right, let's find out what Kristen Burt likes. Well, if we, why don't we just do this? Mm-hmm. Kristen, the three of us have decided to come to L.A. and kill you. So what would you eat for your life? No, you don't want to go that far?
I'm gonna remove myself from this situation. We need an alibi.
Okay, we won't do it then.
I will volunteer to stay back and prop the show up so it looks like you guys aren't doing that, but you two can go ahead and do the killing.
No, we'll just give up on the idea. I thought it was clever, but...
I thought we were, like, going on vacation. We're going to go hang out with Kristen, get some sushi. This took a turn.
Not a bad idea. No, we will ask Kristen Burt what her death meal would be, her final meal of her life would be. So we got, what did we come up with again for the three of us?
I'm going breakfast.
Barbecue ribs breakfast.
Yeah, barbecue ribs.
And then I went, what did I go with, pizza?
Or yeah, Italian. Like Italian. Probably like Italian. A bolognese.
Yeah, the sample.
Oh, I love bolognese.
Sample platter.
The tour I like
of
it.
Italia.
Yeah.
We'll take a break, be right back. Kristen Burt will tell us when she gets the chair, what will be her final meal right after this. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. Thank you. They're having an overstock clearance and new product sale right now for the best prices ever. When you use promo code TOM, you get free shipping on your entire order. You get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0. Also get 50% off the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived and won't last long. Six-pack towel sets for only $29.98. And take advantage of the free shipping on larger items such as mattresses and mattress toppers. 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels that actually absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, and so much more. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-516-5146. Use promo code TOM, and you can get free shipping on your entire order. So, call 800-516-5146. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code TOM.
The past several years have been the craziest in the history of the car business. The pandemic, supply chain and chip issues, all causing extreme inventory shortages that led to, well, predatory pricing. Some dealers charge thousands of dollars over MSRP.
We never played that game. I'm Jim Paul of Valley Buick GMC. We knew that would leave a bad taste in a customer's mouth. More importantly, from an integrity standpoint, it was just wrong.
So what about the current market? You know, inventory and pricing.
Valley has their best inventory in years. Really all the Buick and GMC models. Even the previously hard-to-find Yukons, HD pickups, and Hummer EVs. Plenty of deep discounts. Many with factory rebates and low-interest financing.
Then it's a good time to buy?
It's a great time. We're welcoming our previous customers back, as well as anyone else that felt the treatment just didn't feel right the last time somewhere else.
Valley Buick GMC in Apple Valley and Hastings, or valleycardealers.com. Car buying without the bad aftertaste.
The new Tom Bernard Show is proud to have partners like Bradshaw & Bryant, MyPillow, and North American Banking Company founder, chairman, and president, Mike Bilski.
I've advertised on Tom's show for years, and the reason is simple. My business is recognized because of the ads, and that recognition has created growth. What business doesn't want to grow? I highly recommend the Tom Bernard Morning Show for your advertising.
Grow results for your business by partnering with the Tom Bernard Show. Visit TomBernardShow.com, keyword partner. You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
Oh, she's not live. You got a picture up there. Is that the ticket? What?
It's Monday. Clearly, I was like, oh, we're back.
We're
I'm
back.
I'm sitting here doing nothing.
Well, your picture was up there, so that was good.
Yeah, at least you know I'm like somewhat here.
That's true. Kristen Burt Entertainment News brought to you by North American Banking Company. Go to nabankco.com to learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. So Kristen Burt, we've been talking about if we were going to get hanged or get the electric chair or the gas chamber, what would be our last meal? So AJ talked about a little smoked rib action. Tevin wanted breakfast, which makes sense. Both of those do. I would go with any Italian food, like pizza, pasta, whatever it was. So you are going to get the chair from what I heard. So what have you been thinking about? What's going to be your last meal?
I feel like I get asked this question a lot. I'm not sure why, but it would be lobster. I would do lobster. 2.5 pound lobster,
yep.
Some steamers for my appetizer, a baked potato, corn on the cob, lots of butter.
Oh.
And for dessert, I want bananas flambé.
So basically you're getting a chair because you robbed a bank to pay for that. My God.
If I did it, if I was in a Maine prison, it would be a very cheap meal. It would be expensive.
It's very true.
Wait, what are steamers for the appetizer?
Steamers are clams that have been baked in a like beer broth.
Ooh.
And baked, I should say steamed in a beer broth. That sounds better. Mm-hmm. And then you like open the, you know, the shell and everything. You take off like the little skin thing and then you dip it in drawn butter and it is delicious.
Huh. Gotcha.
There's no question about it.
And out here on the West Coast, we don't do steamers. They do clams, but they only do like fried clam strips. So they take off the bellies. And any New Englander knows that the bellies are where all of like the juicy, delicious meat is.
Juicy and delicious.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite commercial ever with my favorite Boston accent. And it might not have been a Boston accent. It might have been Maine. I can't remember. But the family was all talking about all their favorite desserts. Oh, you know what? A piece of pie is just wonderful. Oh, no, I love cake. And then they're talking and talking, and all of a sudden Grandpa comes in and says, what about your father's strawberries? The first 10 times I heard it, I went, what did he say? What about your
Pepperidge
father's strawberries?
Farm remembers. That's what it sounds like.
Pepperidge Farm. It is a Pepperidge Farm. I think it was Pepperidge Farm. Yes, indeed. What about your father's strawberries? Like, what did he say? What? In any case, I got a recommendation, by the way. Have you guys ever had this? Wait, is the picture? You ever had this? I got to turn it the right way.
Oh,
no, but I heard you opening it on camera.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
My mic was up. It's got 10 calories in it. It is absolutely delicious. God, it's good.
What is it? Like, what's the brand?
It's called Rainstorm. R-E-I-G-N. Rainstorm Clean Energy. It's Valencia Orange is this particular flavor. It is phenomenal. Really,
so it's an energy drink.
It's an energy drink, but it's
don't
not
drink
like,
too many of those.
No, it's not over the top with the energy part of it.
Okay.
Don't tell me what to do. Oh, wait a minute.
I'm
I had
just
too much.
Protecting your body. Don't drink too many energy drinks during the day. They're not good for you.
You're protecting your Catherine. That's what you're doing.
Did she say the same thing to you?
Driver. Oh, God, yes. There's no question about Catherine. That's one thing I love about Catherine so much. Yeah, that's a really good idea, Tom. Shut up. Anyway, moving forward, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, you know what? Catherine and I saw a movie last night. This young kid apparently wrote the movie, produced the movie, directed the movie, starred in the movie. It's called The Actor. Kid's name is Richard Blake. You ever heard of him?
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's not the best movie I've ever seen, but for a young guy to put together the whole thing and paid for the whole thing and wrote the whole thing and did everything, it was pretty damn good, I thought.
Nice. Where did you see it?
It was on, it was on Vudu.
On Vudu. Okay, that's great. Yeah, I honestly think where we've seen such a shift in the industry, pandemic strikes, all of that, I think that this is going to be the resurgence of indie film. And I'm really excited about it. And that's a really good point. The 90s were a great time for indie film. The 70s were a great time for indie film. And we have not seen that resurgence. And I think that this is going to be the next wave.
And this kid, this Richard Blake, he looks like Glenn Campbell's son. Honest to God. Remember, Glenn was a pretty handsome guy. You remember that?
He was. Yeah. I did a whole interview during the last few years when he was battling Alzheimer's. And he did a documentary, but so powerful, so moving. And it was his singing that really kept him going. And I always thought that that part of the brain is so incredible. Because he was always able to remember his lyrics, even though he didn't really have short-term memory. He had long-term memory.
And there's no doubt about it. When he died, his wife and daughter came on the family podcast. They came into town and appeared in studio. just a couple of sweethearts, but it, you could not do that entire hour without tearing up. They just missed him and loved him so much. It was just, it was wonderful to watch. I will tell you that.
Yeah. And Alzheimer's robs you of your loved one because they stop recognizing you at a certain point. I have an aunt who has early onset Alzheimer's and it's been heartbreaking to watch. And I will say that the pandemic likely accelerated some of her symptoms because there was a lack of socialization because
I mean,
she and her husband weren't able to see the grandkids and, you know, her sisters, like we've got a very large family on my mother's side. And that, that isolation really, unfortunately, allowed it to progress faster than it probably should have.
I have a question for you because I've been doing a lot of traveling on the East Coast lately on weekends and all that stuff. About 80% of people on the East Coast still wear masks everywhere. There, tons of them still wear masks. Why is it? Just because of the population?
Here in Los Angeles, or in California, I should say, people still do as well. And I think that for some people, if you're immune compromised, it's totally understandable.
Right.
We all
we
all get that. Yeah. I think for I'm someone on planes, I get sick very easily. So wearing a mask on a flight for me, just not have a cold for 6 weeks. I'm just someone that like gets the cold and it lingers. That's been kind of something that I did even before the pandemic when I was flying back and forth to Europe for work. I was always wearing a mask because I'm like, I just don't want to get sick. So I think that for a lot of people, you know, listen, people are gross. Like I always say that.
That's nice. People,
well, no, listen, remember the first like month of the pandemic? Why are we teaching people how to wash your hands? That is like 101 in nursery school. And we have all seen that person that goes to the restroom and then walks out of the restroom without washing their hands. We've all witnessed it.
That might be my favorite episode of Seinfeld. I thought Seinfeld was okay. I was not a huge fan of it. But I thought it was pretty good. And the one scene is, I can't remember what the guy was. He's an Italian guy, though. And Jerry Seinfeld is looking in the mirror in a public bathroom. He's washing his hands. Guy comes out of the stall, not just off the urinal, but out of a stall. He looks in the mirror and starts combing his hair. And he's talking to him. And he just leaves. Never did wash his hands.
So when I see masks on people, that's the thing. I was in San Francisco over the weekend.
Yeah.
There was
oh, okay.
there were a lot of people wearing masks still even there. And I just sit there and think, it doesn't bug me. If they feel more comfortable, great. That's,
that's,
you know what? Honestly, that's all that matters.
I suppose it is. Fallon Isle still open the restaurant? I think I asked you that before. But God, I loved that place back in the day.
I don't know. I went to my favorite. Like, this is like kind of like a nice, like mid restaurant. It's Middle Eastern. It's called Oren's Hummus. It is my favorite place to go. And Bill was already up in San Francisco as of like last Tuesday. And I joined him on Friday. And I just was like sending him the link. I'm like, we're going tonight, right? We have to go tonight. It is the most delicious Middle Eastern food.
Excellent. Did you end up going over to maybe a vineyard or two after that?
We did not. We did family photos, which I'm sure some of you saw on Instagram and Facebook.
Speak of the devil. Tom, did you see those, Tom?
I saw a couple of them, yes.
Okay. For the listeners watching on YouTube, I mean, this is the cutest thing I saw all weekend. I mean.
Oh, look at that.
So people don't know this. Now, let me just explain this because this is actually TikTok trend. So we were doing family photos. We got together all of the adult kids. My husband's one of seven, and the spouses, and my mother-in-law, who's the sweetest woman ever. And it's too large to do the grandkids and the great-grandkids. We don't fit into JCPenney's studio. So JCPenney, by the way, is has this whole TikTok trend of doing awkward family photos. So after we did the group shots, the nice, normal, beautiful shots, the photographer looked at Bill and I, didn't ask any of the other couples, saying, do you guys want to do bougie couple snapshots or TikTok weirdness? And I was like,
bougie? Well.
Yeah. Which some of the other, you know, some of my brother and sister-in-laws actually did. They did like the nice, like sweet posing ones. And I was like, oh my gosh, no, we want to do TikTok weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, okay, well, Bill, get on the ground, put your feet up, you sit on his feet, and then step on him with your foot. Exactly.
So he's carrying you just like he always does.
Absolutely. Or I'm the boss. I don't know which way you look at it.
Okay, tell me about his family yet again. How many kids are there?
Seven.
Oh, he's Catholic, huh?
Yes.
See, there you go. Every time, because I came from a family of seven myself.
My mom's every from person. Six.
Oh, yeah. From six, Catholic too. Mm-hmm. Yep. There you go. You always get that. If there are over three children, oh, you're Catholic?
Right.
And we were. Yes, yes, yeah, indeed.
It's,
we were.
It's the Catholicism, because obviously his family is Latino, and my mom's side of the family is French Catholic, so French Canadian Catholic.
I went to school with a lot of French Catholics.
You did.
I did, indeed. Indeed, I did. No question about it. So watch the actor and let me know what you think. Richard Blake is the kid's name. What do you got on the docket? Anything we should be watching?
This week is the big four-part series for Jon Bon Jovi.
Ooh.
They're doing
yeah.
a documentary, Thank You and Good Night, and that will be up on Hulu as of Friday, and I think that's going to be one of the big entries this week. I'm really looking forward to it because they have had quite the rise. And also, they had quite the squabbles, Richie Sambora and obviously Jon Bon Jovi. He's no longer, Richie Sambora is no longer in the band. They say that that Richie just walked away. He didn't want to travel as much. But if you talk to other people, they say that there's, a lot of behind the scenes drama. So we'll see how they play that out on the docuseries. So it's four parts beginning Friday on Hulu.
So I got to ask you, is John Lassman in it? John Lassman is good friends with Jon Bon Jovi.
And I don't know if he's in it. Yeah, I haven't gotten my screener copy yet. So
the last video I saw of Jon Bon Jovi, I think it was when he went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. John Lassman was on stage with him when he won the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I remember that.
Damn.
Very,
yeah,
very
we got
cool.
the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees. We got the list yesterday on American Idol. They announced it.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
I'm Performer ready.
Performer category. You've got Mary J. Blige. Mm-hmm. You've got Cher. Dave Matthews Band, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool and the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne, and A Tribe Called Quest.
Listen to all the excitement.
Well, I know, geez, guys.
I was just gonna say that feels like a solid group of artists and bands getting in. Like, there's not anybody that makes you kind of scratch your head.
I feel like they continue, and maybe it's just because there's a certain number that they can do. But I feel like some major acts continue to get snubbed year after year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you know what they do with that? They put them in the Musical Excellence Award, which then after the nominees have been announced, they open it up to the voting body and allow them to kind of freely vote. So these are the people getting the Musical Excellence Award this year. Jimmy Buffett, probably coming on the heels of his passing too. MC5, Dionne Warwick, and Norman Whitfield.
Okay. Couldn't pick any of those out of a lineup.
Dionne Warwick, you couldn't pick Dionne Warwick?
So. No, probably if I heard their songs.
That's what friends are for.
Yeah,
great singer.
Keep smiling, keep shining. No?
Nope. Well, we'll take your word for it.
No, I obviously
do. I did not know that song.
Dionne.
Could be my singing. There's that.
Oh, that was singing? Thank you very much. Great to be here. You know, Dionne Warwick's a supreme talent and a very, very nice person.
Motown, yeah.
Yep, very, very nice person. But Kool and the Gang's tough to beat for me. I love Kool and the Gang. I always have.
I performed with them. I was one of their backup dancers.
Really?
Yeah, I did a job for them in Austin, Texas, and it was really fun.
Oh, great band. I mean, that band is fun. I mean, that Kool and the Gang is a fun band. You're right.
Listen, when Celebration comes on, the audience goes bananas. I think when you have, it must be like when you see someone like Neil Diamond just singing Sweet Caroline, which I did see in person. People just go crazy. They lose their mind. Celebration's another one. Like, just to have that like anthem, I think is such a great marker for an artist in their career.
Why don't you do me a favor? Because I know we got to get going here in a second, but the next time you talk to Catherine, I want you to ask her, Catherine, what do you think of Neil Diamond? And see what kind of response you get.
I can only imagine. I can imagine she's like, he sucks.
I will tell you one very quick story. We were at a New Year's Eve party where a guy, and I mean the band did, he looked like him. He sounded like him. He was a Neil Diamond impersonator. We're sitting in the front row. Now, after Catherine's had a couple, she doesn't really watch what she says. You know what I mean? She's looking up and she goes, God, this guy sounds just like Neil Diamond. Neil Diamond sucks.
Okay, I knew honey. Sucks was going to come out of her mouth.
You knew sucks was coming out.
I grew up in a Neil Diamond household. My dad was obsessed with him.
Oh, yeah.
Obsessed, yeah. And I was fortunate enough to go to the opening night of, because he's got A Beautiful Noise on Broadway. And Neil Diamond sang at the end of the show. And I will say that was a cool bucket list item, because you're just.
He was terrific.
He was amazing. And his story is very messy. Like, for someone who seems to be so vanilla, his story is filled with, like, debt and infidelity. And, I mean, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. The mob, he's got it all.
The mob. Wasn't he from Boston?
Mm-mm. He was from? Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn.
Oh, he's from Brooklyn. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, same thing. For the mob. For the mob, it's the same
For
thing.
For the mob, yeah, it totally makes sense.
It's the same story. All right, young lady, a brilliant report, I thought.
Off to a good start. We got four more chances this week to mess it up.
Four more shots this week. Thank you, dear. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Kristen Bird Entertainment News brought to you by North American Banking Company. Go to nabankco.com to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Any closing words?
No, good start to the week. Hopefully we get some more good news from our Timberwolves and Twins as we go along.
Iron Maiden got snubbed again.
I loved Iron Maiden.
They're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Why?
But but no offense to Cher, but why Cher getting in? I understand she's an icon, but like, come on, rock and roll.
Is it because gypsies, tramps, and thieves? That's really, that was a hit, you know. That was a big hit.
Yes.
Okay, whatever. And then didn't she do a song about being an Indian or something and people got all pissed off at her?
Oh, yeah, the lyrics of that song aren't great.
Yeah, what is it again, Tevin? I was trying to think. Yeah, everybody got pissed off when she released it.
I forget what the name of the song is. We might have to find that for tomorrow. We went through the lyrics, and it's, I don't know. If it got released today, Cher would probably be thrown in prison, yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard this.
I mean, honestly, God, I was like, here's a feather to put in your hair. I didn't even remember what the hell it is, but it's stuff like that. You know, bows and arrows and feathers and moccasins and...
Yeah, the song is called Half Breed.
Half Breed, that's the one.
That doesn't set up well.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Half Breed. That's all I ever was, Half Breed. Settle down, lady. I think she's Spanish. Is she even Native American? She's Spanish, isn't she?
I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, there's a lyric in here that's like, give her a feather, she's a Cherokee. But I think it's what people were saying to her.
Yeah, it was.
It's kind of talking about her childhood, which that's not great, but yeah.
I guess it's a true story. She said it's a true story, so what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
All right, fellas, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks a lot. Bye.